Okay, thank you for joining. Thursday night, Parshas, you're studying Rav Lopiansky's Sefer Yesod HaTorah. This Parsha is packed, but I mean packed. We're just going to touch the tip of the iceberg here. And the star of the show this week, again, as becoming a lot of times in Rav Lopiansky's Sefer's Rabbeinu Bechaye, almost everything we're going to learn tonight is basically just a shiur in Rabbeinu Bechaye, but apparently he has so many fundamental ideas on things that are fundamental to the Jewish belief. Let's start with the very beginning of the parasha. The Torah says that when you count the Jewish people, so every person should give a half shekel, and we're going to count the half shekel so that there won't be a plague. V'lo yebam negef b'fkod osam. Because if you count individuals, it's going to be a plague. Explains Rabbeinu Bechaye in the first source. He says, I'll just say it outside. He says basically that when a Jew is part of the community of the Jewish people, so then his faults don't stand out so much. But when someone identifies you individually, then your faults stand up. And he says, this is why, I maybe look inside a little bit on the third line, he says, Ukeinyan Shehishiva Hashunam Misla Elisha on the fourth line. Besoch Ami Anochi Yoshaves. I sit within my people. I am part of my people. In other words, I don't want you to daven just for me, because then Hashem is going to look me up and down and see whether I'm deserving of it. Just daven for the whole community. That's why we say when we daven for a cholu, we say Besoch Shah Choli Yisrael. We don't want to just daven for one person, because one person, it's, you know, there's too much that could stand out, but and he explains further, that's why in Rosh Hashanah, a person's supposed to try to get swallowed up with the crowd. If you call me out individually, I'm going to get punished. That's why you count shekels, you don't count people, because if I call the person out, so it exposes him. There's the whole idea of Ayin Hara. V'yadoki osayom shekasev bo v'yi hayom was Rosh Hashanah. U'mikan roi osayom shekal boi olam oven l'funav kivdei marin sheyom adin ufkidas onesh la'olam ulispachet v'lidog bo kevin shekal yachin nifrat v'chol masiv nifratim l'ish gedrachov u'chufi ma'alolav. So, on Rosh Hashanah, it's important for us to try to, on Rosh Hashanah, it's important for us to try to be included in the community and not to be called out as individuals. Because you have a better shot at good judgment when you're part of Klal Yisrael.
Isn't the same thing about davening b'yichidus that
you're yes, yes, the same thing about davening
b'yichidus.
Yes,
maybe not so much.
Exactly, and we're going to talk about that a few times tonight. The importance of davening with a minyan, because when you go with a minyan, you have a better chance of being accepted amongst Klal Yisrael. What's your name? Welcome, Shmuel. Shmuel Baum. Are you here for the shiur?
How we've learned about
this.
I'll plug in.
Oh, okay. No. I'm. Who you come to learn? Somebody else?
No,
with that. Okay. Welcome. We're studying the Rav Lopiansky's Sefer Yesod HaTorah. Oh, now, unbelievable pshat he has. A few unbelievable. There's many, many unbelievable things. So first he has a Ramban here. Why are the Shkalim called Shekel HaKodesh? So he says very simply, Shkalim are called Shekel HaKodesh because they're used to perform holy functions. Shekel HaKodesh, we use them for Pidyon Bechor, we use it for Arachin, and that's why he says, V'chein atam etzli, look in the fifth line of the Ramban, V'chein atam b'mashi rabbasein akor Lashon HaTorah, Lashon HaKodesh. Why is Hebrew called Lashon HaKodesh? He says, M'pesh ha-divrei Torah u'nevuos v'chol divrei kedusha kulam b'lashon ahu nemra. Holy things, how you doing, Barry? Holy things are written in this language, so since holy things are written in this language, that's why it's called Lashon HaKodesh, and Hashem's names are in this language, and that's why they're called Lashon HaKodesh. And so he explains that the Rambam Mor Nevuchim has a different shot. The Rambam says that Hebrew is called Lashon HaKodesh because there's no words for disgusting things in Hebrew. The Hebrew doesn't have, but he thinks that's ridiculous. The Ramban doesn't like that shot, and he proves that the Torah does have bad words for disgusting things. Hebrew does. That's not why it is. It's because when you service holy things, so you yourself are something holy. So Shekel HaKodesh, service is holy mitzvahs, it's called Kedusha. So Lashon HaKodesh, service is Torah and names of Hashem, and all these things. That's why it's called. That's why it's called Lashon HaKodesh. Again, so I was wondering, like, what's the message from that? The message from that is that if you facilitate holiness, then you yourself are holy. It's not just what you are. It's what you facilitate. It's what you help out. But now the next shot's really amazing. Again, Rabbeinu Bechaya is going to be the whole shiur tonight. Rabbeinu Bechaya, unbelievable shot. Why you give a half shekel? Machtzis hashekel. Why a half? So we've heard many explanations. So Rabbeinu Bechaya has Rabbeinu Bechaya will first. We are a full service organization here. Rabbeinu Bechaya says beautiful pshat. Let's look at it inside. Valderech haseichel. A lot of times Rabbeinu Bechaya will have a pshat al derech hadrash, al derech hatvuna, al derech haseichel. Logical. Haya maxis hashekel vayochel liyos shekel shalim min eser geiros. Right? It could have been a full shekel. Why half? I'm a balir mos. Sheroi lecho maskil sheyishko masav bishaveh. Shekel comes from the language when you gave a shekel representing you, that you're a member of Klal Yisrael. It was a half a shekel because shekel comes from the word mishkal, to weigh. And Hashem was trying to convince us that when we think of ourselves, we have to weigh two parts of ourselves. Evenly. Good evening, John. V'sheyaskim ba'atzmo loseis legufo ulanafsho l'chal echad miyam chelko v'chuko mishkal ha'shalim. You knew that it couldn't possibly be a Rav Lobianski shiur without talking about the importance of physical health as well as spiritual health, a topic that I like to speak about very much. He says, "Va'anochon va'roi she'imam shech es gufo la'avodas Hashem yisala v'yelech ba'achar nafsho shehu ha'ikor le'itim gam kein she'im choch nafsho achar gufo b'inyonim ha'echrichim kagon achila u'shasiya v'hamalbush." Interesting. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, what's the idea? Oh, Gavi, how you doing? Great to see you. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, what's the idea of a half shekel? Why a half shekel? Because we're supposed to. The reason it's a half shekel, Erev Tov Avi, the reason it's a half shekel is because there are two halves to a person, to highlight the halves. There's a physical half and there's a spiritual half. And shekel means shokel, to weigh. A person has to weigh evenly.
You have to check how much you weigh.
a person has to weigh evenly his physical health and his spiritual health. Both are important, says Rabbeinu Bechaya. And you can't have one without the other. As we've spoken many, many times, that a person is supposed to, look at the words that he uses here. He says that what you eat and drink is important, and your clothing is important. The person has to look respectable, and he has to eat healthy foods, achilo shasiyah, meaning eating with the intention of your spiritual self, in a spiritual way, not like a glutton, not like somebody who doesn't understand that. Again, let me just read that line. V'anachon v'aroi, third line, sheyamshich es gufo el avodas Hashem yis'ala, that the body should follow avodas Hashem, v'yelech ba'achar nafsho. Second page. The body should follow the soul, shehu ha'yikar. Ule'itim gam kein shiim shach nafsho achar gufo ben yonam echrechim. That you have to convince your soul to follow the body in terms of things that are important. Put the soul on hold for a few seconds. You got to eat healthy. You got to take time to eat and drink. I remember one time a kid came back from yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he was coming back and like, he was so into learning that like every second he had to be learning. So when he's eating, he's learning. When he's drinking, he's learning. That's not healthy. A person's supposed to, sometimes the soul, you have to put the soul on hold and take care of the body. The way you dress, the way you eat, the way you drink. And he quotes the famous Chazal, Ukamosha Amru, Chazal, B'inyin Yom Tov Ksiv, Atzeres Hashem Alkech, Uksiv Atzeres Tiyalachem. Rabbi Shomer Chalkei, Chetzi Yolashem, Chetzi Yolachem. Yom Tov is supposed to be half for Hashem and half for you. But he's not saying that about Yontif. Chatzi, machtzis hashekel. How you doing, Alan? Good to see you. Machtzis hashekel is because shekel, when you're weighing yourself, like John said, not literally weighing yourself, but when you're weighing your life's choices, you have to weigh the gashmias and you have to weigh the ruchnias. He says something unbelievable. I never, ever thought of this or ever heard of this. Look what he says. V'roi shetia kavanoso b'shtadluso b'tzarche gufo k'dei sheyovei mizeh l'to'elos hanefesh. When you're thinking about your hishtadlus for your body, you have to keep in mind the soul. Shekin matzinu b'yakov avinu We know that Yaakov went to go learn for 14 years. Because he went to go work for Lavan for 14 years. Oh, you ever hear such a thing like that? So he learned first for 14 years because he knew he was going to have to work for 14 years, but he had to learn first for 14 years. Even Stephen, if you're going to give 14 years to the body, you got to give 14 years to the soul. Machtes HaShekel, amazing. Huh? I never heard of this, ever. Never heard of this. You got to give the body what it needs. You got to give the soul what it needs. You have to take care of both of them. And that's why it was a half shekel, because mishkal, you have to weigh half and half. V'hizkir b'shekel ha-kodesh, ki ozi yukol shiklei masa, and ozi shkulim b'shekel kodesh, v'yalim zel madregos ha-prushios v'akadusha. In this way, when a person takes care of his body and takes care of his soul, not too much in either one, not too much in either one, as we speak about all the time. You have to take care of your body, you have to take care of your soul. You can't put too much focus on the body and not too much focus on the soul. There's got to be an even mizug. That's why it's a machtes hashekel. Fascinating, Rabbeinu Bechai, that he sees in this, that same idea. Now, famous idea in Chazal, the next piece, also Rabbeinu Bechai. So the Ktores is spoken about in Parsha, Kisis is mamish, packed to the gills, Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu asking to see Hashem's presence. That's already in the heavy. I mean, the Rabbeinu Bechai had like 30. I mean, the Rabbi Lobianski had 30 pages on that. It was way above my pay grade. What does it mean, you know, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see Hashem? What did Hashem let him see? What did he not let him see? Very, very difficult things. We're not going to go too much into that. But the Ketores. So we know that one of the 11 Simon of the Ketores was the Chelbana. The Chelbana was foul-smelling. And Chazal famously state that even the wicked people, even the foul-smelling people, need to be included in the prayers and the tefillos and the minyan of Klal Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Bechai stresses that here as well.
There's a gematria that Chelbana is Chayav Lomar Bishvili Nivra'ola.
Chayav Lomar Bishvili Nivra'ola, meaning even the Rosh.
Right.
Very nice, beautiful. The Chelbana Recha Ra. Va'avol Bikain, on the top of page 3, Hechnisa akasa b'chlala b'samim achashuvim. Ubalir moz, says Rabbeinu Bechai, this comes to hint to us. She'ein lanu lahakel b'rishayim poshi Yisrael, shlo yiu b'chlal ta'ani oseinu utfil oseinu. We should not leave the rishayim out of our fast days and our prayers. Ukmo she'amu chazal, kol aguda she'ein ba mi poshi Yisrael ein aguda. Wow. Some yeshivas, they only like to accept the best and the brightest. Some yeshivas. Our yeshiva is not one of them. Not one of them. I'm proud to say that our yeshiva is not one of them. But he says, some minyanim look only the best and the brightest. We're now trying to get kids into yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. It's labedik, only the best and the brightest of my yeshiva. Says the Gemara, Chazal, kol aguda, any gathering, she'ein ba, has no, that you don't care about the poshe Yisrael, ain't aguda. Right, like they say.
This is a Gemara?
I think so. It says Chazal, I think so.
But you don't know.
I could find it. I'm sure it's not hard to find. And I trust Rabbeinu Bechai that it is a Chazal somewhere.
No,
I didn't look it up. No, I know. I know you weren't questioning it. Believe me, if you text me afterwards, John, we'll find it together. By the way, if you Google it right now, you'll find it, I'm sure. Ubirzeh, kishem shamayim mis'ale u'miskadesh. Such an important idea here. And again, this is a little bit what I'm osekin every day, so I really feel very, very deeply and passionately about this. Right? They have some yeshivas that they make yeshivas for the kids who are off the derech, or yeshivas for kids who... So, again, I always feel that's not the best way to deal with the kids that are wayward. Not the best way. Because you take all these kids who are all, and you throw them all together. How are they going to learn to get better? How are they going to learn to change? If you throw them all together, it's just going to reinforce it. So I believe every yeshiva needs to take a few of these kids. Every yeshiva needs to take a few of the kids so that they'll be together with kids who are being matzliach and kids who are excited and kids who are positive. So then they'll learn why it's good to be like that, and they'll be in an atmosphere that's a little bit more conducive, and that'll help them grow. That's what he's saying over here. What are you going to gain? You're going to throw a kid out of the yeshiva, then what? He's going to be on the street. He's still going to be friendly with your kids. And no one's going to be dealing with him. No one's going to be helping him. Ubir zeki shem shamayim misalo miskadesh. B'shar shar rishayim chozim b'tshuva v'nimnim b'chlal tzadikim shem lo kena tzadikim nispasim aleim. Ve'arvus, if the tzadikim aren't dealing with the rishayim, you're going to get punished for that. Kol Yisrael reivim zev v'zev. There's people out there that nobody's dealing with. So it's going to be on us. Shall we call Yisrael reivim zev v'zev? Umitam zen tzavim mitzvahs lulav. One of the four minim is the arava, which has no smell and no taste, is right in there with the lulav. It's four types of Jews, right? You have mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim.
Who's that? The boring guy? The guy who you never notice? The guy who is always overlooked because he's not trouble and he's not smart?
Okay. Everyone needs attention. Everyone needs attention. They got to be bechlal ha'esrog sheish bo tam v'reach, taste and smell. Bechlal ha'lulav sheish bo ochel v'hadish bo reach. V'anumaratzim l'kadosh baruch hu b'kulam ke'echad. When we come to appease Hashem, when we sing hallel, we take all four of them together. All four of them are in the aguda. We can't forget about their shem. They say a great chasidish ma'isa. They say a great ma'isa that after the Baal Shem Tov was Nifter, so then it was the Mezrit Shemaget took over, and so I think apparently he was a little bit tougher than the Baal Shem Tov was. That's the way the story goes. I think I'm getting it right, unless it's the next generation. But so the Ganovim used to go to the kever of the Baal Shem Tov and say, Rebbe, when you were the Rebbe, so you were the Rebbe of the Tzadikim and the Ganovim. But now the new Rebbe, he's only Rebbe of the Tzaddikim. Who's going to be the Rebbe of the Ganavim? Some story like that. But anyway, very important to remember those people and not to chuck them out and turn them. To try to be Makariv. This is important. To try to be Makariv. And that's why the Chelbana was included in the Ketores. So says Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Chelbana. I love that. Chayav Loimar Beshvili Nivra Olam. Beautiful.
Can I tell a wonderful story that I heard once about Rav Shach?
Shach.
He would meet with various people on a regular basis. One was the principal of Masifta. Principal was saying every week, this one boy, I just can't deal with him, and he's disrupting the school. Finally, Rav Shach says, look, it's enough already. Takes the boy out. The next week comes, principal comes to the meeting. He's sitting and he's waiting. He never had to wait. He's sitting and waiting. He's waiting and waiting, waiting the whole hour. Out comes Rav Shach and the little boy that was kicked out. The principal said, you made me kick him out. What did the Rav say to the Talmud? He said, everybody's got to be educated.
So he took him in. Yeah, yeah. Good.
And
beautiful story.
He made a choice.
Ah.
He took his Talmud and kicked him down the stairs.
Okay. Shkoyach. Yeah, I have a lot of stories like that.
The story about his father. His favorite story about his father.
Yeah, my father. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So many stories.
A lot of stories like that. Yeah, the whole faculty voted to kick the kid out. My father kept him in. Yeah, I have stories like that. A bunch. Yeah. Anyway, here we go. They say that's the way. What's his name? Trotsky? No, not is it Trotsky that he was thrown out of yeshiva as a kid? The Russian guy, so one of the Chafetz Chaim refused to allow the principal who threw him out into his base medrash. The Chafetz Chaim, he never spoke a negative word about anybody, but Trotsky's principal, he said, because of you, how many people because Trotsky, he grew up without a father, and the mother Nebuch took him to yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva threw him out. She begged, keep him in, take him in, take him in. She threw out, and because of that, he got turned off. He became, I think it was Trotsky, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway. Oh! Re'e karasi b'shem b'tzal b'nur b'nuchul amate Yehuda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks him up. What's the re'e? Everybody asks. What's the re'e? Look! So what's the look? And one of the great things about B'tzal, which over here, this is the Sfarno, actually. Re'e v'havein, the Sfarno. I should have written it in there, I apologize. Re'e v'havein. Kilo alchinam karasiv. I didn't call him for nothing. Ki davar ikari hu b'melechas hakodesh, shetinasa yidei b'chir Hashem ha-mechavin b'pulasa shikus etachlis ha-mitzvah. When it came to somebody who built the Mishkan, it had to be somebody who understands the messages and the themes of the Mishkan. And that Barbanel goes even much further along a similar line. Says that Barbanel in the next piece, it's very long, so maybe we won't read it inside in the interest of time. But the Barbanel says, most intelligent people, most super brilliant people, he says, couldn't put two bricks together to save their lives. They're theoretically and intellectually brilliant and genius, but a lot of the intellectually brilliant and genius people, when you get them to try to put something together and do something, they have two left hands. They can't, they're such brilliant, but they're in the clouds. They're brilliant and they're not in this world. Most. That's what Barbanel says. Someone who's a brilliant intellectual, he's not street smart. There's people who are intellectually very brilliant, but in terms of getting stuff done, they can't get stuff done. Unbelievable. He says that the smartest people in the world, get them to try to accomplish something in this world, they're fools. They're fools. They can't accomplish. When Yeshayo is talking about Mashiach, v'nocha alav ruach Hashem, ruach chachma ubina, klomar, that's going to be the godless of Mashiach, that is going to be both brilliant and he's also going to be able to get stuff done. The godless of Bezalel is that he wasn't only one or the other. He wasn't only a master craftsman who knew how to build and who knew the chachmas of how to mold gold and silver and weave and all the things, but he also, like, quid pro quo, together with his incredible technical skill, he also had deep spiritual skill. That was the amazing, amazing thing about Batala. And both things were equally important. And again, I go back to what we talked about the Machzis HaShekel. This is, I think, related to that I think that although it's rare, but Bezalel for us is sort of like a model, that it's something for us to strive for, that it's okay to strive to be great in both. Bezalel used both talents to serve Hashem. He used his art, his artistry, and his technical know-how, his engineering skills. He used all that to serve Hashem, and he also used his Torah and spiritual understanding and knowledge in terms of investing and endowing, like we saw before in the Sfarno, investing and endowing the Klei HaMishkan with appropriate kavanas, with doing it for the right reasons. So both are crucial. Both are crucial. We see so much in Chazal that the technical know-how and ability to succeed in this worldly matters is also something that's significant. And he says, you look a little bit further down, Zechon Levach Barmam, Yodeh HaYibetzal, famous Gemara in Brachos, this here it says, John, it's in Brachos, Nun Hei. Yodeh HaYibetzal, Letzair Fa'osios Shenivru Ben Shamayim Ba'aretz. Very esoteric statement of Chazal. Bezalel knew how to combine the letters upon which the world, the heavens and the earth were created. What in the world does that mean? Rotz Aloma, Shamayim and Aretz. I think that's what he's driving at over here. Rotzaloma, Shahaya Maven Rims Ambishkan Bishamaim of Aretz, Valkane Shibchu Bachma. Vachain Haramazma Toradim Chem Shibchu Bitfuna. Od Zachar me Apella bit Yanosh, Himayosachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachachach Ukva omar ha-philosoph, I assume that's Aristotle. Kimi shechonenu ha-teva harbe me-ha-sichli kotzbo me-ha-kochos ha-gashmios ha-molochos. Someone who is blessed with the high intellect, he can't usually do physical things. And there's there ha-yerov ha-chachonim, yedeyan, ragleim kvedim. Their hands were heavy. So that was the Pella and Betzala. So again, I think the lesson for us is that we can strive for greatness and excellence in both. We can strive. Like Betzala, he used his kochos, both of his kochos. He used his kochos, right? On the simplest level, when we need people to build our shuls and build our yeshivas, but not just building, to our organizations, our doctors, our all the things that we need for a society to function. So it's okay to excel in both. I think that's a lesson that comes over here. Interesting, Rabbeinu Bechai points out something that I never thought about, I didn't know. What was the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael was commanded? So we always thought it's Rosh Chodesh, and it is in a sense Rosh Chodesh. Okay, good. But they weren't, that wasn't Klal Yisrael. Good, excellent. That's the first mitzvah in the Chumash, correct? It's mankind, correct. But anyway, so Rabbeinu Bechaya writes, what about HaChodesh? That's a good question. Vida, ki mitzvahs HaShabbos, hi ha-mitzvah harishonah shenitna liYisrael kodem matan Torah. The first mitzvah given before Matan Torah. Now again, I don't know about HaChodesh, that's a good question. I would have said otherwise. Yeah, in Mara. In Marait, they gave three, right? Shabbos, some say it's Kibbut Av or Par Aduma, whether it's a Pei Aleph or a Chaf Aleph, is two opinions. And what was the third one? Shabbos, Par Aduma, and what was the other one? I don't know, Rashi says it on Chumash.
Freeing slaves?
What's that?
Was it freeing slaves?
Maybe Shiluah Chavad, maybe.
Says that.
Maybe, unless that was in Egypt. All right, anyway, but Shabbos was the first one. Why was Shabbos the first mitzvah? So he says Shabbos is shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvahs. Shabbos is the foundation of entire emunah. Chazal say lo charva yushlaim el b'shul shechilu es ha-Shabbos, that Eretz Yisrael was destroyed because of, that's a Gemara in Gittin, I believe, that Eretz Yisrael was destroyed because of chilu Shabbos, and Mashiach is only going to come in the merit. The last line, Darsha Chazal, mola yisrael mishamra fil shtei Shabbosos miyad negalim. If Klal Yisrael would just observe two Shabbosos, so they would be redeemed. Why? Two Shabbosos?
This is a Medrash.
Yeah. It's also a Gemara. Why two Shabbosos? So I think some explain because, yeah, Shabbos is Mashpia on the week that comes ahead and the week that comes past. So if you have a week that's surrounded on both sides by Shabbos, so Shabbosos, yeah. Shabbos, that's what he's talking about. Elsewhere, yeah, Shabbosos. Shabbosos, he mentions that there's a lot of Shemitah is Shabbos, and there's a lot of sevens. But anyway, Shabbos is, of course, very fundamental. But the reason I quoted it here is just fascinating that he learns it was the, even before Matan Torah, it was the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael was given even before Matan Torah, highlighting how fundamental and crucial is Shabbos. Now, fascinatingly, the next piece is also very, very important about what Shabbos is supposed to mean to us. Abar Benel says as follows: V'hine, ba mitzvah haShabbos b'dibros rishonos b'loshon zechira, k'mo shekavs zochar siyom haShabbos kachem. V'gam kein b'parshas veschan and ba b'loshon shmira, u'shmartim as Shabbos v'shomer neisel haShabbos shomer siyom haShabbos. So zochar and shomer. Our Shomer Chazal famously zochar v'shomer b'dibor echad. Now, Abar Benel has a very interesting take, not usually the way we would say what Zachar and Shomer. We tend to understand. Zachar means the Aseis of Shabbos, and Shomer means the Los Aseis of Shabbos. So Abar Benel has a different take on that. He says that's not what Zachar and Shomer means. What is Zachar and Shomer? He says as follows. Lefi, Shebeminiyas HaMalacha B'Shabbos Yesh Shtei Bechinos. He says that there are two reasons for abstaining from work on Shabbos. One is for the person, and one is for the world, the malacha itself. Let's see. Lefi. Shebeminiyas hamalacha b'Shabbos yesh shtei bechinos. Ha'achas sheket v'nofesh ha'ish. One is we, human beings, should not be engaged in physical labor on Shabbos. It's for our benefit. He's going to say, that's going to be Zachar, I believe. V'abeiz, bitl ha-malacha, ha-hu, v'he'edera. Meaning, so one is it that we shouldn't be doing malacha, and the second is that the malacha shouldn't be done. The malacha per se, nothing to do with our doing it or not doing it, it shouldn't be done on its own. There's another reason. That's what he calls shamor. V'Hashem yisbar chashash al shtehen. Hashem was worried about both things. Why? Ki hu kivein sheyanuach v'yinefesh adam b'yom hamanoach hazeh v'shelo ta'ase bo malach v'shum panim. Hashem intended that, first of all, the human being should be at rest, as he's going to say in a minute, so that the human being can pursue spiritual interests on Shabbos. And secondly, v'shelo te'ase bo malacha b'shum panim. Not only that you shouldn't do malacha, but that malacha should not be done. What's that all about? What's the point of that? So he explains, v'atoel es asher kiven b'nofesh v'haheshket. Who? That's easy. L'aseis makom b'osam ayomim akadoshim. Lahaskil ulehis bonein b'toras Hashem. V'hamaskilim yimtzu nachas ruach lahashlim sichlam ulehetiv nafshem bahem. U'kumo shamu chazal, another Gemara, there's also Gemara John. Loi nitnu shabbosos v'yabim tovim l'Yisrael ela lilmod behem Torah. Why does Hashem give Shabbos and Yontif? Not to take a 4-hour nap on Shabbos afternoon. Not to fill yourself up with chalant up until the wazoo and then sleep it off for 4 hours. No. Yeah, of course this has some special food, a little bit of special food, a little bit elevated. But the goal of Shabbos is to sit and learn. The goal of Shabbos is to exchange Divrei Torah and to have a high level of discussion and discourse so that the soul could be elevated. That's what it says. The Gemara says, Lo yinitnu Shabbosos v'yomim tovim, l'Yisrael ela lilmod bahem Torah. V'zohu ha-nefesh yisera sh'amru. This is the neshama yisera you get on Shabbos. Sh'yimtza adam ba'atzmo b'Shabbos mitzad ha'achana ha'tova asher yimtza oz l'limida u'liyidiya b'mini'as ha'asakim v'asaras ha'tirdus, by stopping to work and removing the worries hamonas l'shemos ha'sichli, which get in the way of your spiritual growth, of your spiritual shlemos, your intellectual and spiritual endeavors. That's one goal of Shabbos. So that's the zachar. That's don't work so that you should be able to do something active. You should be able to study Torah, learn, get close to Hashem. The goal of Shabbos, according to the Abarbanel, is for you to learn Torah and to daven and to sing zmiras and to get close to HaKadosh Baruch through spiritual things. So what's the other benefit? What's the benefit mitzad the malacha that it shouldn't get done? What's that all about? So here I wasn't 100% as clear what he's driving at. Maybe you could help me. Omnam. Ha-toelis asher kivin bebitl ha-malacha atzma. Nothing to do with you. There's another toelis that's not about you not doing malacha, so you have time for spiritual matters, but the malacha shouldn't get done. Why? What's this? He says, Hu sh'al yidei zeh yizachru v'yipaktu hagdolos v'hanoraos asher asa b'hotzio osanu mitachas sivlos mitzrayim hamorim al yicholto hamuchlot. Work, it's a mouthful. Work should not be done. Why should work not be done on this day? Because by stopping work, that will, it's Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, we say in Kiddush, it's Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. By stopping work, we're going to remember the Gedolos and the Noraos, Asher Asa Bahotzio Asan Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim, that Hashem took us out of Egypt, Hamorim Al Yecholto Hamuchlat. I guess the pshat is, I'm not totally sure, maybe you have a good pshat here, but I guess what I'm thinking it means is that somehow by stopping, by having the world stop, we're remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Shabbos is also Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Why? Because we sat back and we were passive and we stopped working. We stopped working in Egypt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. Asher asaba utziosan mitachas sivlos mitzrayim hamorim al yicholto amuchlat. It shows that Hashem has, he's omnipotent. It shows Hashem's omnipotence. Let's see if he explains it more. Maybe I could hear a pshat from one of you, what he's talking about here. Yeah, what do you say, what?
Kadosh Baruch Hu did the work.
Right, he did the work.
Basically, you're
You're remembering the work that you did by not working.
You're remembering.
And you're showing that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, just because you work a seventh day doesn't mean you're going to make more money by not working. And you're showing that you still can do. You're showing that really it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Oh.
Same thing with Mitzrayim. Anything you could do without a Kaddish Baruch Hu, at least Nisim and
beautiful, Kaddish. Beautiful. Ve'ein safek shaloshin, excellent. Ve'ein safek shaloshin zechira nofel al davar sheyish bo maisa. That's zechira. That's the Torah study. Ve'loshin shmira al haminia mimenu. Shmira means by standing back, you're saying, oh, like Barry's saying, it's not my work that's causing me to be successful. Just like in Mitzrayim, you know, we were working, but we needed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take us out. It was all him. We couldn't do anything without him. It was clear. The Makos and Kriyas Yamsef, it was clear. So too Shabbos, we commemorate that we sit back and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu do the work to remember that it's all him. That it's all him. V'lachein. Kishitziva yisparach al hamenucha v'hanofesh amar zochar siyom haShabbos wrote to Lomar zochreu bo kdei shetaska v'tei demaisa Hashem study Torah zochreu remember Hashem through study kino rohu ubriuso ha'olam achar eves hamuchla and his creation of the world after ex nihilo when there was nothing here k'mosh kazi sheyesh yom mas Hashem v'kasher ratzal tzavos al bittal malacha amar b'lashon shmira. Shamar as Yom HaShabbos. Lomar, he shamar pentasa kol malach. Oh. So. Very good. Okay.
I come from more of a Rambam point of view, a rationalist point of view.
Yeah.
Most of us are slaves to our jobs during the week. Now this reminds us that, you know, Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim.
Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim.
Stop working.
Beautiful.
Well, we're obligated.
I think that's the same. That's very similar to what you were saying. No, not about the word. Yeah, Shkayach. Oh. A couple of beautiful points towards the end of the shiur. A couple of beautiful points. I didn't have this inside. I just didn't have time before to put it to find it. The Sefer Ikrim writes very, very beautifully. Sefer Ikrim. This is one of the Rav Yosef Albo. Sefer Ikrim, Rav Yosef Albo. I have what it just says Ikrim. He says very beautifully. This is, again, I'm not sure what the lesson is. I actually think what the lesson is, but interesting, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is up there on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He tells him, you better go down because Klai Yisrael is worshipping the ego. And like Moshe, basically, calmly, Hashem told him that they're worshipping the ego. And Moshe Rabbeinu like takes the luchos, calmly walks down, and then he sees the ego, and he takes the luchos and smashes them. So the Ikrim is bothered, like, why didn't he just like go back up and give them back or something? So he writes there, Eino doma shmiel ariyah. That's one of the lessons that the Rabbeinu Shlomo himself told him they worship, but it didn't make the kind of impression on Moshe until he actually saw it with his own eyes. This is why we don't allow Zoom anymore in yeshiva, because eino doma shmiel ariyah. You know, if I'm, you got to be there. You got to be in it this year, this month. Yeah, we're doing parent teacher conferences in person. Eino doma shmiel ariyah. You know, and it's that way in Yiddishkeit also that you have to experience certain things, just hearing about them. Right, it happens all the time. Like, let's say a boy in the class will do something crazy, and one of the administrators is called in and he sees what's going on. And then he tells it over afterwards, and to me, it didn't sound like so. It didn't sound like such a crazy thing. But he was in there, and when you saw it in there, like you saw the on people's faces what was going on when this happened. So, ain't a domish really again. What the lesson is that you have to sometimes experience things. Oh, very beautiful. The next piece. That the luchos, the Torah says that the luchos are written on both sides. Luchos written about mizeh u'mizeh heim k'suvim. It's a very beautiful pshat. Very beautiful pshat. What does it mean, mizeh u'mizeh heim k'suvim? So who says this pshat? Who says this pshat? 1 second. I forgot to write it down. But he has a beautiful pshat over here. What does it mean that the luchos were mizeh u'mizeh? Here it is. Mizeh u'mizeh, hey, here it is. Rabbeinu Bechaya, of course, Rabbeinu Bechaya. Luchos k'suvim, zeh hoya pele gadol. First of all, this is not, right, if you write something through one side, if you're looking on the other side, it's going to be backwards. So how do you have, zeh hoya pele gadol, shaksav hoya nikra kisiduro, mishnei ha'arav. So the simple pshat is, it was miraculous that you could read it on both sides straight. Masha inkim k'sav shalonu. Usually on one side it's the right way, on the backwards it's backwards. Okay, but then he has another pshat. Beautiful pshat. V'yitachin lefarsh mishnei evrehim. What does it mean that the luchos were written on both sides? He says shebol lirmos ki yesh lemashmos divrei Torah shnei avarim. All of Torah has two sides, the revealed side and the hidden side. All of Torah is not like any other wisdom, not a chachma, like what it says is what it says. What it is what it is. Mizeh u'mizeh heim ksuvim, says the Rebbe Yehuda B'chaya. Shabbos ki yesh l'mashmos divrei Torah shnei avarim. Nigla v'nister. There's the revealed, simple explanation of Torah, and then there's the hidden, mysterious, deeper explanation of Torah. Kenyan shlomo shlomo amal v'shalom. Tapuchei zahav b'maskios kesef. I should have looked that up. I don't know exactly what it's referring to, but the idea is that there's a hidden understanding of things, that the Torah is, he compares Torah to like apples covered with, or gold covered with silver, or silver, I think it's, yeah, gold covered by silver, that you have to go inside and look and see what's inside it, and even on the outside it might be silver, on the inside it's gold, I think. Gotta look up the pasuk. Uksiv, ki kiflayim letushia. It's doubled over to get the deep understanding of it. Yevar, ki haTorah kfula. All of Torah is, like my Rebbe Shechter likes to say, there's the simple level of understanding, and then there's an additional level of interpretation. Rav Shechter always likes to use those words. There's an additional level of interpretation. Medrash, drash, looking inside, looking, analyzing. Umovad pashte haTorah, aside from the simple pshat, yesh ba'od ta'alumos chachma. V'alze omer ha'kosev pasukim tehillim, achas dibur elokim, shtayim zu shamati. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says one thing, but you can learn out two things. So he learns that out from mizeh u'mizeh heim ksuvim, that the luchos, you had the, what it looked like on the outside, and then what you can mind, right? Ha'foch ba v'foch ha'dukul ba. Every time, we've been having this parasha now for 18 years, but each time you go through the parasha again, you get another insight, a deeper insight, a different insight, every time you learn.
By the way, tapuchei zahav is yeah. Old biblical for an orange.
An orange. So tapuchei zahav b'maskios kesef. What's the maskios kesef? Hidden. I forgot. I forgot what that's referring to. I apologize, but we can look it up afterwards. Tapuchei zahav tapuz. Right. Very good. Very good. Correct. He talks about why the luchos got heavy when the letters flew off. The letters flew off. He says, Rabbeinu Bechaya says that just like when a person is alive, he's much lighter than he is. When a person dies, he's just all physical without the neshama. So he's dead weight. That's called dead weight. Dead weight means when you're dead, you weigh more because the neshama doesn't lift you up. That's the way it was with the luchos. When it had the writing on it, when it had the Torah on it, so then he could hold it up. Once the letters flew off, it was just stone, and it had to fall down. So this is Rebbeinu Bechaya. V'yadua, look at the second paragraph. Ki haya ksav b'luchos dugmas ha'nefesh b'guf. U'vistalik ha'ksav nishar luchos guf b'lo nefesh. V'guf b'lo nefesh roi l'kovro tachas ha'karka. V'alkin iskima dayta l'shaber osam tachas ha'har. That's the discussion of Salvechik has a beautiful essay about that. That the osios parchos, but the osios parchos, I think Rav Salvechik says it means like the Torah Shebaal Peh was flying off the luchos. So all that was left was the Torah Shebichsav, and Torah Shebichsav without the Torah Shebaal Peh also couldn't exist. Beautiful, he has a beautiful drasha about that.
And if it wasn't thrown down, the
opposite. That's what he suggested. What?
It fell on the eagle?
Yes, yeah, right, something. I don't know if it fell on the eagle, but it definitely fell into a lot of pieces. The Gemara says, Luchos v'shivrei luchos munachen ba'aron. He quotes that over here also. That's the Raya. And the last shot. All right, let's skip to the end. Skip to the end already. In the next page, it just talks about Poked avon avos abonim. Like, is that a Jewish concept that God punishes the kids for the sins of the parents? Punish the kids for the sins of the parents?
Yeah, by Mitzrayim. Not, you know, what to the Or the Moavim, to the third generation.
Oh, Ad Asar Doros, yeah. So
I mean, it's not normal. It's not normal.
So what he says, the Gemara quotes, look on the last page. Mashkash Baruch Hu Poled Avodas Al Banim Yishtma. Kineki Ein Zeh Mishpat Tzedek. Kach Baruch Hu says Lo Yumsu Avos Al Banim. It's against another pasuk. Lo Yumsu Avos Al Banim. Banim Lo Yumsu Avos. Avol Nezer. Chazal already say Kisha Ochsan Masa Avasein Biyadeim. It means when the kids follow in the parents' path, that it's, so then you punish the kids for the sins of the parents, the fact that they learned from the parents and they adopted the parents' practices as their own. So he says that's what it means, when the kids continue the sins of the parents. And the last piece is just, he talks about why they ended up, the last pasuk. No. Rav Lopiansky writes nothing of his own in the Sefer. It's all just quoting. So the last piece he has, right? One of the psukim that resonates the most with me in the whole parasha is the very, very end of the parasha, where we talk about Vayomar Shal Moshe Ksav Lachas Advar Me'ela. Write down these words: Ki Al Pi Advar Me'ela Karati Itcha Bris Es Yisrael. That the Iker Krisis Bris, says the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Samach. The Iker Krisis Bris between Hashem and Klai says, Dafka through Dvarim Shabal Peh. Torah Shabal Peh. Iker Krisis Bris. So in the end over here, it's a very long piece. I only have a little piece. Also from Rabbeinu Bechaya, we'll close with this. For Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who's that Rabbi Yudan Asi? Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Shechibra HaMishnah V'limin Osam Barabim V'kisua Kol B'yam of Kavanos HaYisa K'dei Shlo Tishkach Torah Mi'Yisrael. Shirah Harishah Mispashetis Bolom Yisrael Mispazim Begolos. Even though it's Torah Shabbal Peh, he had to write down the Mishnah because he didn't want it forgotten. Because of the Chibar Mishnah, she Torah Shabbal Peh, Val King Karam Mishnah, Vishi Shnia La Torah. Mishnah is called Mishnah because it's the second, it was the second one to be written down after Torah Shabbat. Veruba Lashna Kodesh Tzach Ketorah Shabbat. And most of Mishnah is also written in a terse, concise fashion, just like Torah is. He said, in the times of Rebbe, they didn't need Gemara. They could read the Mishnayos and they figured out the whole Gemara on their own. They understood already the whole Gemara from the Mishnayos. People were on a lower level. Right? As a kid, you always hated this in yeshiva. The Rebbe came up, there's words missing in the Mishnah. What do you mean? So he says, what's chesur mechzer? No, ain't a kavanah liyos haMishnah chaser klal chalila. There's words missing in the Mishnah. No, it meant that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and his generation was on such a high level that they could figure out what was missing even without what was missing. Even without the avala kavanah shi chaser etzleinu. Mepnei chesun sechlen mishein ano magim laomer chachmas dorah shel chachmi haMishnah. Ulufikach asur ravina ravashi perish al haMishnah vaTalmud ubir osekas haMishnah veyichal lishonam al lishon haMishnah hamuk vaAsasim. So, but this is the Iker Krisis Bris. I'm asked from time to time when we set up the yeshiva in the beginning. So some of the balabatim said, why do you have so much more time for Gemara as opposed to Chumash? So I pointed to this Gemara in Gittin. First of all, Ryan Lichtenstein says sometimes we teach kids just enough Gemara that they hate it. So if you, because Gemara is very hard. It's very hard to learn. It needs a lot of time. But moreover, that's what we have in this expasha, that ki al pi advar ma'ele karatit chabris. Somehow the Torah Shabbal Peh, dafka, that which was not written down, is the main covenant. Because that you have to work for, that you need a Rebbe for, that's not clear and open for the whole world. And that's what the Gemara says in Gittin on this pasuk. Gemara says, quotes a pasuk, I believe it's in Mishlei, Echtov lahem rube torasi kamozar nechshavu. Hashem says, if I would write everything down, then it would be like, you know, and that's exactly what happened. There was an Old Testament, and there's a New Testament. Whatever gets written down, anybody, it's out there for anybody to do whatever they want with it, and they can come up with a new edition, new versions, but Torah Shabbal Peh, that's uniquely ours. That's uniquely ours. That's the special bris. Over time, they wrote it down. And even when they wrote it down in not such a clear fashion, so that people shouldn't be able to pick it up unless you mamish harv over it, unless you mamish work over it. So that's another important lesson. So a lot about the luchos, a lot about the different aspects and facets of Torah, about Shabbos being a day for us to acquired knowledge of Torah, about the shekel, machzis ha-shekel. We have to worry about our physical and the spiritual. A lot of important ideas. Thank you very much for coming. I wish you have a wonderful Shabbos. Hope to see you, Bez Hashem, next Thursday night as well. Thank you for coming.